No, because first of all, when it did happen, you always wonder, you know, did he come back too quick? But based on our doctors, based on Carey, based on everything we had, he played two games. He was fine. Practice, he was fine. He just, it was not the reason that he got injured that he came back too quick. But I understand the question because, you know, of course, you always wonder if it was that the case. But we look into it really deeply after, and that was not the case. Well, I don't discuss transaction, as you know, Pat, but we're really comfortable with Mike.
Who you're talking to.
Yeah. Well, I always look to...
Is a need...
No, I don't feel there's a need. Correct. I mean, we have Mike Ticker. I was in the Marlies game against St. John last night, and Zach played very well. I know he's a young goalie, but that's why you have many goalies in your system when you... face injuries, you're able to sustain them. Now, if we lose three goalies, that'd be a different story.
And maybe you can pick up the phone and call Jim Popp, who might be able to understand if it gets that far. Welcome back. Hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. There was Marc Bergevin earlier today making it official. Carey Price gone for 6 weeks. No surgery required. He mentioned there that he was in St. John's and or in Toronto to watch St. John's. Or where were they? Was he in St. John's? Where were they? Anyway, St. John's and the Marlies, they played all weekend. Zach Fucale played well. Zach Fucale played so well in front of the Canadiens general manager, they just announced that he has been recalled with Ticker Dustin Tokarski going back to the American Hockey League. It's Melnick in the afternoon, hour number three with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. Thanks to Tony Marinaro for sitting in last week. And it is Pierre Maguire time.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chateauguay, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
You're back.
Yes.
You exist. You're not a figment of my imagination.
Good to be back. Thank you again to Tony.
By the way, Tony did a fantastic job filling in for you.
He had a big week. Huh? A lot happened. Marc Bergevin, a lot going on. Yeah.
He was busy.
So what do you make of they watch Fucale, who actually was off to kind of a up-and-down start in his first year as a pro, played very well. I think he made 40 saves two nights ago, the game that Marc Bergevin saw, or last night. And so they know that Mike Condon is the guy, and now they're bringing up Zach Fucale. What do you make of this?
Not too much. I mean, you're going to have to give Mike Condon a rest at some point. And Zach Fucale obviously is a guy that's got some pretty major international experience representing Canada internationally at the World Junior level and other things. So I don't see a problem with this. I will tell you this, from my experience, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times it's more difficult to play goal in the American League than it is to play in the NHL. Because it's so unpredictable in the American Hockey League. The travel's so much different. Sometimes you got guys coming up from the East Coast League that shouldn't be playing in the American Hockey League, playing in front of you, and you're getting chance after chance after chance. Sometimes guys are just completely worn out and they can't play defense. They don't back check very well. It's just the reality. I really believe it's sometimes harder to play in the American League as a goalie than it is to play in the NHL.
You heard what Marc Bergevin said there. That was Pat Hickey, of course, asking the question, is there a need to get a goalie? And clearly the way that the team is right now, you see the standings, there is no need at the moment. But do you think he might feel differently at trade deadline time?
Listen, I'll be honest with you, Mitch. Even if he felt there was a need to do it now, you're not going to tell anybody publicly. Because then every general manager in this league is going to be trying to squeeze you. So it's best to keep that quiet. And that's probably one of the things he's done. I also think they have a lot of confidence in what they have. They have a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
They have Mitch, we have talked about this for a long time now. This is a very good team. This is a team that's vastly underrated by a lot of people around the league. But if you read some of the quotes, and I watched their game with New Jersey Friday and Saturday, their games, I should say, if you read the quotes from the New Jersey players, some of them, after the game Saturday, really good team. What a measuring stick for us. Really fast, talented team. Big win for our group. Those guys, you think their general manager and their coach aren't going to respect the Montreal Canadiens? Not at all. They respect them unbelievably. But I think there are some teams around the league that underestimate Montreal. I really do.
Well, we read you the quotes. It was Ken Hitchcock, right? Whenever St. Louis was in town. I mean, he said it. He said it very early on that these guys are going to be one of the best teams in the National Hockey League because they attack you with speed offensively and defensively.
Yes, and the development of Nathan Beaulieu is huge for this group. The development of Dale Weiss, the start that David Desharnais has had, the quick strike offensive capability of Pacioretty. When he was there, Torrey Mitchell, I thought, and Brian Flynn were tremendous together. There's a lot of good stuff. People, and I know people in Montreal are jaded a little bit because they expect their team to always be up there. They've won 24 Stanley Cups. The last time they won one was 1993. So this is probably going to be your best shot in a long time. This is a really good team. I wouldn't worry too much about the goaltending at this point.
Okay, well, that's easier said than done because it's Carey Price. And
you know, I understand, but he'll
once
be back.
We get,
the Rangers got through this last year, too, with Cam Talbot. Don't worry. You'll get through this.
This is not part
of an 82-game schedule.
I don't think anybody's concerned about the rest of the season. I think what people are worried about, we touched on this before you joined us, is at playoff time. Carey Price is the best, but Carey Price has not been able to stay healthy. It's not his fault, but he's just – I mean, you got a franchise guy like this, mm-hmm. and you've got a belief that is now, as you just pointed out, it's kind of league-wide that the Canadiens are one of the best teams in the league. They could compete for the Stanley Cup with anybody right now if they're healthy.
Yep.
That you would feel a lot more comfortable if you had a playoff-tested veteran backing up Carey Price.
That's a fair point, but that's down the road. That's not for now. That's down the road. That's after January the 1st or 2nd or 3rd, and you're starting to say, okay, here's where the races are. This is who's maybe available. Here, who's not going to be available. This is a team that maybe we can do a deal with, but I don't think that's a pressing need for now. This is where you do your evaluation. You know, this is why I told you the story about how they got Michael Condon.
Yes, you did. It's funny. Bergeron was explaining it today, and I said to Rod, Pierre McGuire gave us the whole story back in November with Vincent Riondeau and Rick Dudley and Trevor Timmons and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really the way you run your organization is basically what I'm trying to say. These guys don't leave any stone unturned. It's just so heartening to see the professionalism of the management team there. It's what had to happen. I talked to you about it when I was going through the search. With Jeff Molson and with Mike Landlauer. and it's just refreshing to see what they've been able to do with the professionalism that is coming out of that group. Don't worry. They're not going to drop the bomb in this. If they think they need to do something, they'll do it. But they're not going to get held hostage trying to do it.
Something else that developed, in addition to Mark Bergeron getting his contract extension while I was away.
We're a strong group and character group, so we got to... We'll find a way, and still gotta find a way to be solid and keep moving forward. But it's a big loss, obviously. We'll keep doing what we keep doing. You know, it's there's nothing surprising that we're the first team right in the standing. So we've been doing something good. We just gotta keep building our momentum and keep playing the right way.
They certainly are showing they're a lot more than Carey Price, Pierre. Right? Since they started, and they had that great start without Galchenyuk contributing a whole lot offensively. Now he's on fire. And
think he's any good at center?
And I certainly hope that this will quiet. I don't know. There seem to be this growing number of people out there, including some who played in the NHL and won cups, that maybe he'd be better off on the wing because he wasn't putting the puck on the net. If you were watching the games, you knew how close he was getting to scoring goals. He just wasn't finishing.
Everybody needs. What did Carey say a couple years ago? Just chill out. Take a deep breath. He's a centerman. He's a natural centerman. He always has been. That's his calling card, skill through the middle, pace through the middle, and utilizing his shot. And that's what he's been able to do. So I will give credit where credit's due. I remember you and I talking off the air a while ago, and you said, once he gets one, he's going to get a bunch.
Yep.
And that's exactly what's happened. You said it. You called it.
Well, and Pierre, one of the things that I've, you know, you hear or you read in the criticism of Galchenyuk potentially as a centerman is his lack of speed. And I'm going, what? Did you see him burst through the that was a game against the Devils in New Jersey?
Yeah, Friday.
It's just a bunch of guys that I respect a lot of them, but I'm just wonder where what they're watching.
Okay, so it's okay. I get it, but here's what I would say to them. here are some of the center icemen in the league that do very well. Anze Kopitar. I'd like to see a drag race with he and Galchenyuk. Ryan Getzlaff. I'd like to see a drag race with him and Galchenyuk. Patrice Bergeron. I'd like to see a race with he and Galchenyuk. Those are just some of the center icemen I'll just throw out there. And let's see who wins a race from one end to the other. I think you'd be surprised. Those guys are all pretty good players, but I just said, don't you think?
I don't know how closely, if at all, people track, Pierre, importance of goals and significance of goals and clutch goals. I mean, I know game-winning goals is a stat, but looking at Galchenyuk, he's got 49 career goals. 26 of them have been in the third period. That's more than half. And I can't promise you that every single one of those is in a one-goal game, but 26
overtime,
of 49.
Overtime goals against the Rangers, overtime against Ottawa. He seems to have a knack for scoring important goals.
Yep.
All I know is this. I really trust Trevor Timmins a ton. And I talked to Trevor a fair bit before they drafted Galchenyuk and obviously since. And they've never, ever once been worried about his development. It takes a while for these guys to become elite center icemen. It's not that easy. People forget how much time Thomas Plekanec spent in the American Hockey League. This is the harsh reality of being a centerman, especially the way the game is played today.
In his draft,
being a centerman in this league is hard.
In his draft year, Galchenyuk played 2 games. In his last year in junior, he played 2 games.
Yeah. All I know is this. He's a really good player, and I remember telling you he needs to move to center because that's his strength. That's where he's going to thrive, and I think that's probably what's going to happen.
So, Pierre, you're not going to split Pacioretty and Plekanec right now, and there's a big-time gap on that right side. And we saw Michel Therrien put Galchenyuk in that spot in the third period on Friday night. How often can you do that, load up on the top line, play him on the wing without hampering his progress at center?
Oh, that won't be an issue at all. I watched Tatsuk and Zetterberg for years in Detroit. They'd split them up. They'd put them back together, put one guy on the wing, one guy at center, depending on the matchup that they wanted. It hasn't affected Zetterberg or Datsyuk at all. It didn't at that time. Obviously, they're getting older, but it didn't affect them at that time. It won't affect them at all. In fact, it's probably going to make them better. Might make them better.
And Sven Andraghetto, I'm sure you touched on him with Tony last week.
He's been outstanding.
He looks like the real thing.
Well, this is the point I made to Tony. What I respect about that young man is coming over. He could have stayed in Switzerland and made a lot of money. Could have. That's just the harsh reality, again, of bringing over European kids. They can make more money playing overseas than they can playing junior just because of the way their leagues are set up. He came over, decided to play up in Rouen, and you see what that's done for him. He is not intimidated, and he's capable of playing on small ice. And it's not a big adjustment for him. And he's robust and he's fast and he's skilled and he's an energizing kind of a player. I mean, obviously they miss Brendan Gallagher. There's no question about they miss Brendan Gallagher. But if this young man can fill in just a little bit for what Brendan does in terms of the energy and the pugnacious attitude that Brendan brings to the rink, that would be great news for Canadians. Huge news.
I know you're not on Twitter, Pierre.
No, sir.
But do you know Jim Kite at all?
Yeah, really well. We had Jimmy in Pittsburgh. He was a defenseman for us. I watched Jimmy play for a long time, if it's the same Jim Kite.
Yeah, it is the same Jim Kite. Well, yep. he blasted Gallagher and Brad Marchand on his Twitter account over the weekend, talked about how those are two of the reasons why he has trouble watching the NHL, is they start stuff and they get away with stuff and they're nowhere to be found. And somebody alerted Gallagher to it. Gallagher responded, and they went back and forth quite a bit on Twitter. Jim Kite did not. I don't think he did himself any favors by ripping a guy who, as Bob McKenzie pointed out this morning, was in serious consideration for the World Cup and will still be in serious consideration for the World Cup.
Gallagher and Marchand are really good hockey players, and they sometimes do things that kick people off, but I think that's different than players that just run around and cause problems and don't have the redeeming qualities.
Jim Kite is of the belief, like some old time hockey players who did a lot of fighting, and in Jim Kite's case, you saw it yourself, that's what's missing today. Is the instigator rule. Another case in point, the Dubinsky cross check on Crosby and you know, nobody responding to Dubinsky. Do you think there's anything to that?
Here's what I would say. There's a major lawsuit pending against the National Hockey League. Anything that they do to repeal the instigator, you're just asking for trouble. You're just might as well just write the check. I understand where Jim is coming from, by the way. I really do. I understand completely where Jim is coming from. And again, we had him in training camp in Pittsburgh, coached against him when he was playing in the league. He was an honorable player. He fought hard. He competed hard. There was never any issues in terms of that stuff with Jim at all, ever. You won't hear me say a bad thing about him. But what I think is happening is people are losing track or forgetting what's coming down the pike for this league. And it has the potential to be very nasty. And the league changed when the instigator situation happened. The red line came out. Smaller players were able to play. And there was zero tolerance on obstruction and hooking and holding. They wanted to increase the speed of the game. And that's what's happened. And because we haven't had expansion in a very long time, and because there's so many good young players coming up and into the league able to play as 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, the parity's never been better. And this is all part and parcel of what I think everybody's talking about, especially the older players or the retired players that lived in a different league where the players kind of police themselves.
I think some of them miss fighting. And I just think some of them miss...
They might. But the ones that are talking about, I wonder how many of them are involved in the lawsuit that's coming against the league. There are over 700 former players.
Well, I'm wondering, do you guys miss the fighting? I mean, we're almost a third of the way through the schedule. The Toronto Maple Leafs haven't had a single fight this season. The Canadiens have had how many?
One. It's one.
Do you guys miss it? Yeah. Do you miss fight? I don't. I do not watch a game as I used to, hoping to see a fight.
I just watch fights differently than I used to watch them, too. Like, I don't miss it, and when I see a fight, I keep thinking, oh my God, I just hope something bad doesn't happen. I never used to think like that before.
Yeah, it was the George Parros on opening night. That totally changed at least how I perceive a fight now.
Pierre, you're in every arena practically in North America. Well, America anyway. And, the old cliche about American fans needing that violent aspect of hockey and getting off on fighting. Do you feel that?
No, I don't. I think people are really overwhelmed with the pace of the game and some of the ferocious hits in the game and some of the great saves they're seeing in the games. Now, I will say this. Last Friday in the afternoon, when Dylan McIlrath stepped up and got in a fight because of a nasty hit on Derek Stepan, I said, along with Eddie Olczyk, that he did what he was supposed to do. And I know Mike Milbury said the same thing in the studio when he responded, because of the injury situation to step on.
Well, yeah, when you see one of your teammates hurt as a result of a heavy hit, legal or not, that's what you do.
And then you saw what happened. McIlrath, the next day, runs over Nick Schultz, and it's a devastating hit. And it's not dirty, but it's a devastating hit. And what happens? Luke Shen comes over and fights Dylan McIlrath. And Luke Shen's way out of his weight category in that fight, but that's what he does because of the same thing a day later. Those aren't preconceived fights. Those are fights based on what happened in the game and the players trying to send a message, don't do that to one of our guys again. That's basically what that is. I don't think the fans really miss that all that much in the building. I really don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but I still hear unbelievable reactions for big hits or for big goals or for huge speed plays. I really do.
Which is why, Pierre, watching the Penguins game on Friday, I was a little bit surprised in the immediate aftermath of Crosby being cross-checked in the head by Brandon Dubinsky that none of Crosby's teammates did what you're talking about in the other two instances.
I was surprised, I'll be totally frank, when I saw it, and I didn't see it live, but when I saw it, when I got back to my hotel in Toronto on Friday night, I was like, wow. Nobody stepped up for this. This is different. But you knew right away Dubinsky was going to get suspended, and obviously he was. And now you've got this unbelievable animosity between Pittsburgh and Columbus. It was there to begin with. Now it's probably worse than ever. So the next game, I'm sure it'll be on
heightened alert, just like the next time Boston and the Rangers play, everybody will be on heightened alert.
So the Rangers are scuffling a little bit. I think when you looked at their one-loss record, you kind of knew that there was, you know, there was a bump, at least a single bump coming. Is there any cause for concern there?
I'm not. I've talked to a lot of people today about it, whether I was on a radio show in a different city or with some hockey decision makers around the league. You know, everybody's wondering, is something wrong with Mark Stahl? He had a couple egregious turnovers on the Friday afternoon game, and people are wondering about their depth on defense and how McElrath is progressing. I think Dylan McElrath is actually progressing really well. I wouldn't be that concerned. I think the one thing Allen is going to have to do, because of the injury situation with Derek Stepan, 4 to 6 weeks, so it's a little bit like Carey Price, they're going to have to find a way to get a chemistry guy to play with Kreider. Whether it's going to be Kevin Hayes moving the center, which he was at Boston College, by the way. He was a natural center iceman at Boston College, played with Johnny Gaudreau, and you should have seen the chemistry those two guys had at Boston College. But I would say that he probably gets a first shot at it, and then they're going to have to find a winger. But if those guys can do it, Kreider and Hayes, then I don't think Vigneault will be that worried about it.
Yeah, Kreider was very self-critical after the latest loss by the Rangers.
Well, they didn't play very well against Philadelphia. I give Philadelphia credit. I mean, Philadelphia is going to go in there and try every game just because Dave Hakstol is an excellent coach and Claude Giroux is a competitive guy, and they've got some people that really care. That's a big thing for them going forward. They've got people who really care, and that's a good thing for the Flyers long term. And it's nice to see Shane Gostisbehere doing as well as he's doing. I know you and I have talked about him for a long time when he was at Union College. I mean, he's a kid out of Florida who's found the hard way into the NHL, and oh man, is he a good player. But I think the Rangers are going to be hard on themselves because they fancy themselves to be a real good team. And you know what, Mitch? They are a really good team.
One of four games tonight, Rangers at home at MSG2 Carolina. Among the other games, Edmonton and Toronto. Who's the kid making his NHL debut and goal for Toronto?
Garrett Sparks.
So much for grabbing the opportunity. Mike Babcock on Jonathan Bernier before the game on Saturday. Yeah. He's got an opportunity. I hope he grabs it.
Yeah, well, I think what nobody really liked one of the goals, which was a huge rebound goal, and just not the way you, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, and you can ask Clément Jodoin, who knows that goalie as well as anybody from Lewiston, talking about Jonathan Bernier in the Quebec Major Junior League, that he's not playing anywhere near what he's capable of. This should be an elite goalie in the league, and for whatever reason, there's a confidence of a crisis of confidence with this player. Mitch, it's crazy. He should be so much better than what he's showing. There really